You're listening to episode 190 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Ryan Gottfredson. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. So here's a little bit about our guest today, Ryan Gottfredson, PhD. He's a mental success coach and a cutting-edge leadership consultant, author, trainer, and researcher. He helps improve organizations, leaders, teams, and employees by improving their mindsets. Ryan is currently a leadership and management professor at Mihaly College of Business and Economics at California State University in Fullerton. He holds a PhD in organizational behavior and human resources from Indiana University and a BA from Brigham Young University. He is the author of Success Mindsets, the key to unlocking greater success in your life, work, and leadership. He also works with organizations to develop their leaders and improve their culture, aka the collective mindsets. He has worked with top leadership teams at CVS Health, top 130 leaders, Deutsche Telekom, 500 plus of their top 2,000 leaders, and a couple dozen other organizations. As a respected authority and researcher on topics related to leadership, management, and organizational behavior, Ryan has published over 15 articles across a variety of journals, including Journal of Management, Journal of Organizational Behavior, Business Horizons, Journal of Leadership and Organizational Studies, and Journal of Leadership Studies. His research has been cited over 1,800 times since 2014. So here's our guest today, Ryan. Hey everyone, Dr. Josh Hant here at Lifestyle Locker Radio. Welcome back. I'm pumped to have our guest Ryan here. He's the mindset master. I'm allowed to call you that?
Sure, why not? That's right. The first time I've been called that, but I'll take it.
Right, yeah. Well, he's a mindset master. He's got some really cool giveaways, which I actually did this really cool test actually last night before the recording to learn a little bit more about myself. And being that I figured if we have him on the line here, you know, I'll make it a little bit of a little help at the same time. So without further ado, Ryan, welcome again. And would you mind telling everybody a little bit about your backstory? How do you get into mindsets? Because to me, it's an unusual topic, but I absolutely love the topic. But
For sure. Thanks for having me on. So I took a really awesome class in high school. So I'm going to take us back to my high school days. And the class was sports psychology. I don't know of any other high school that offers sports psychology, but I loved the class. In the class, we read Stephen R. Covey's Seven Habits for Highly Effective People. This is high school, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I read books by Mike Krzyzewski, the coach of Duke Blue Devils, one by Pat Riley, another one by another basketball coach. And they're all about leadership and all about becoming better people. And I just ate them up. Like, I still remember these books. And I remember thinking as a senior in high school, man, if there was a career out there where I could study leadership and write books, that would be it. And I didn't think that there was a career out there. So fast forward a couple of years, and I'm living in Boston, Massachusetts, and I meet a Harvard Business School professor, and I ask him, well, what do you teach? And he says, organizational behavior. I say, what in the world's organizational behavior? And he essentially says, it's the psychology of business. And he goes on to essentially talk about my sports psychology class and these books that I had read. I was like, that's where I'm going. So that's where I'm headed. So I did my undergraduate degree and then went straight into a doctoral program at Indiana University in organizational behavior and human resources. And where I focused all of my research on leadership, or most of my research on leadership. And it was just so fascinating to learn about the last 70 years of leadership research. And one of the main themes of the last 70 years of leadership research is that they've focused on behaviors. So what do leaders need to do to be effective? And really, what do we need to do to be effective? And that was really great to learn, but it didn't sit very well with me. Because I think that leadership isn't just about doing the right thing. It's about being a certain type of person. And so where I've gone for the last 6 or 7 years from there has been trying to figure out how do we tap into this being element. And that's led me to mindsets.
Okay. So tapping into being, I want to actually get into that in a minute, because that's a really cool word that we use in the chiropractic profession. And I'll explain that in a minute, but were there any in your schooling, in your research, were there any particular authors, any books that you read that were like, this is getting me, like, I'm wanting to find more about being, I want to find more about, you know, this mindset thing.
Yeah. The first book that I ever came across dealing with mindsets was a game changer for me. The book is called Leadership and Self-Deception. It's written by the Arbinger Institute. And the basic premise of the book is that we can view others in one of two ways. And depending upon how we view them shapes how we treat and interact with them.
Okay.
So one way is we could view others as objects. So the generally as either an instrument there to get us where we want to go, or a barrier that's preventing us to get from getting where we want to go. And when we see them as objects, we kind of treat them as such. And I mean that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
Another approach is to, rather than see them as objects, is to see them as people and truly value them as such. When we see others as people, we see that their needs and wants matter just as much as my needs and wants. And the reason why this book hit me really hard is because I viewed people more like objects. I had what is called, and what they call, is this inward mindset. I think it was partly because of my upbringing. I was an only child. And so our family life kind of revolved around me. And I was used to that. I was an athlete. I was a competitive person. And I was, when I played basketball, it was about me getting the statistics, not about my team winning per se.
Yeah.
Just because my mindset led me to see that as being the best way to operate. But even as I say that, it just, for most people, that doesn't make sense. But for me, because of my mindset, that's made sense. So when I read this book, I awoke to the idea that my lens and how I'm viewing others isn't the best way to view others. And it was kind of a life-shifting moment for me.
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, looking at people, you know, I'm sure everybody listening has had this experience, whether you want to get somewhere, get something, whatever it may be, or get to a place, you may see people as a means to an end, mm-hmm. right? Versus people as being people that are on their own journey. And there could be a win-win scenario for both people. Doesn't it just be like me and then that person's going to lose just because I'm going to get what I want?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And one of the things that I enjoy about you and just the conversations we've had thus far is we kind of talked a little bit before we came on the podcast, is you said, I want to get to know you before we jump on the air, mm-hmm. right? What that is sending the signal to me is you care about me as a person. And our conversation is going to be different because of that. And when you operate as a chiropractor, you can see your patients as being, in some ways, a dollar sign.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. There are docs, I'm sure, that do in every profession. It's sad.
Or you can see them as a person, right?
Yeah.
And how you see them is you're going to interact with them very differently. You're going to have a different level of success. And both in terms of your personal success, but also in terms of their rehabilitation, if that happens to be what they're needing.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. And I want to jump into being as we're on this topic now. In becoming a chiropractor, I attended tons and tons of seminars to learn. Obviously, I mean, we had to learn the sciences and those basic things. That was the schooling, right? The some of the basic art, but a lot of the studying and a lot of the development as a human being, as a chiropractor, comes, as you know, probably even yourself, comes outside of school. Mm-hmm. And I was always hearing the docs talk about be, do, have. You got to be first, your being, then yep. do, then you can have the life you want. And most people want to just do the do to get something, right? Like that second half. But if you don't really understand the being portion of who you are, it's easy to get lost in what success may actually really be. You may crash and burn because you're just out for that, right? The means to the end mm-hmm. type of thing. So it was a good wake up call for me to go, really is about, you know, me having a better version of myself so I can actually contribute to society versus just, you know, how many patients do I need to pay for a car? Like that doesn't work.
Yep.
It does work, but it's not, you're not going to have any kind of long-term success or build relationships with a community or people. So
for sure.
So
let me take that idea that you just get, and I'm just going to say it just slightly differently.
Okay.
But if we imagine we've got a pyramid and this, I'm going to kind of call this our success pyramid. At the very top is success.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to get deeper because we want to know what are the drivers of success. So what immediately drives success? Well, that's our behaviors. So the things that we do drives how successful we are. And that's where I would say 90% of people focus in their personal development, is I need to do something different. But that's not our foundation. The next level down is we need to ask ourselves, what drives our behavior? Well, it's our thinking that drives our behavior, mm-hmm. and therefore our success. And I think about 9% of people will focus there. And it's not a bad place, but it's not our foundation. Because we can ask ourselves, what drives our thinking? And what drives our thinking, the level below that, is our mindsets. See, how we see and interpret the world shapes how we think, how we learn, and how we behave, and therefore our success. There's a crazy statistic out there that says, 90% of our thinking, feeling, judging, and acting is driven by our non-conscious automatic processes.
Yeah.
So the top levels of our pyramid is driven by our non-conscious automatic processes, which are largely driven by our mindsets. So our mindsets, the lenses that we use to view the world, is shaping almost everything that we do, but most of us aren't conscious to it. We're essentially operating on autopilot. But if we can make the unconscious conscious, now we can be more intentional with our mindsets and really everything that comes above that on that pyramid.
That's interesting. So in I'm guessing in your research, as you're diving into this topic, did you have any other preconceived ideas of what maybe was that driver of success? This episode of Lifestyle Locker is brought to you by the 3065 Lifestyle Program, where you can take control of your health 365 days a year for as little as $5 a month. So make sure you do check the show notes to get all the details you need. And now back to the show.
Well, from just my life experience, I don't think I knew even to think about this as different levels.
Okay.
So when I remember when I was in college, I lived with some really great guys. Like these were guys that I looked up to. They were well-rounded. They were smart. They got better grades than me. They were more athletic. I mean, the list can go on and on. And so I would always compare myself against them. And I'm seeing how they're great in one area, and I kind of suck in that area. And so I wanted to become better in that area. So as I tried to make the efforts to improve myself, I focused on my behaviors. I need to copy what they are doing.
Yeah.
And the more I tried to copy it, the more frustrated I became because I couldn't copy it. And because I didn't recognize that there's these layers here, I didn't think to dive deeper. And so what ends up happening is when we focus on our behaviors and pull those forward, but our mindsets stay the same, those prevailing mindsets resist any changes that we're trying to make in our behaviors. And so it's just a limited approach to our development, whereas a more effective approach is to push forward our mindsets. As we push forward our mindsets, our thinking, learning, and behavior, and consequently our success will naturally follow.
That's interesting. So, and how is, you know, besides I'm gonna mention the test real quick, because I think this is important. What's the name of the test that I took?
So I just call it my personal mindset assessment. It's free on my website.
Okay.
So if people were to go to ryangottfredson.com, they could take it. It's 20 questions, like 5 minutes, but it provides a pretty comprehensive and individualized report.
Yeah, it's a lot more than I thought I was going to get when I got the email. But that being said, you know, are there ways we can, with before even taking this test, that we could even think about like, hey, you know, is my mindset good? Like, how do I know if my mindset is good or bad, or like, you know, are my results really that I'm getting in life, are they really because of my mindset?
And you're just, I mean, that's such a great question. And here's what's problematic, and I think you're alluding to this, is we all tend to think that our thinking is the best way to think. But the reality is our current thinking is probably not the best way to think. So we're very justified in our mindsets, but that doesn't make them positive mindsets.
True. Okay.
And so we need something to help us awaken to these. And that's why I think my mindset assessment is really helpful, because when you take the assessment, the results will tell you where your mindsets are in comparison to about 10,000 other people who have taken the assessment. So you've got some pretty objective information about the quality of your mindsets relative to everybody else.
Okay. So you mentioned like there are different mindsets. So what would be example? I mean, are there more than two? Is it just good and bad?
So I focus on four different sets of mindsets, and each of these sets range on a continuum from negative to positive. And I didn't come up with these mindset sets. Where I found them is in the academic literature. So across psychology, management, marketing, and education, mindsets have been studied for 30 years. It's just that they're existing in these different pockets and they're largely not talking to each other. So all I've done is pulled them together into one framework to help us learn what mindsets we need to have to be more successful.
Okay. So when, let's say someone takes a test, and I know there are two sides of the spectrum that people are going to end up on. I know it is different layers. Can you go over a little bit of like what we're measuring and what people are like, what kind of outcomes people are going to start to see? And if someone's like, holy crap, I'm in the red zone instead of the green zone. Like, is their life over? Is this something is this changeable?
For sure. And that's why I love focusing on mindsets. Let me give you a really interesting study that's been done on mindsets. Cause you're in New York. Are you in New York City?
Yeah. I practice in New York City. I live in the burbs. I'm in the burbs right now, but I practice in the city. Yes.
Okay, great. So this particular study, they worked with a financial company downtown New York, right around the time of the economic downturn. And so they're stressed out about their jobs, about life. And this group came in and they split up these employees into two groups. And one group saw a 3-minute video about how stress is debilitating for you. Another group saw a 3-minute video about how stress is enabling for you. And both of those perspectives are backed by science. And then what they did is they tracked for the next 2 weeks their engagement, their performance, and their blood pressure.
Okay.
And what they found is that those who saw the 3-minute video about how stress is enabling, they had higher engagement, higher performance, and lower blood pressure than those that saw the 3-minute video about how stress is debilitating. So this is small interventions like a 3-minute video have been found to shape essentially how we think, how we learn, and how we behave. So these are things that we can change. Now, the permanence of that is now the question. And what we've learned about mindsets is if we could stack interventions on top of each other that are similar in this nature, then we make a long-term shift to our mindsets. Because what our mindsets are is they're actually just neural connections in our prefrontal cortex. And we just need to strengthen the more positive mindset neural connections so that we rely upon those more than the negative mindset neural connections.
Yeah, so would a mindset be similar to a belief system?
Yeah, it's very similar to a belief system, but the thing that's sometimes different in the belief systems is that oftentimes they're beliefs that we have, but we don't always know that we have those beliefs. Okay. So let me maybe jump into one of these sets of mindsets to explain that.
Okay, perfect.
So the first set of mindsets that I focus on is the difference between a fixed and a growth mindset. So when we have a fixed mindset, and this is more on the negative side, it is a belief. It's a belief that we can't or others can't change their talents, abilities, and intelligence. A growth mindset is when we believe that we and others can change our talents, abilities, and intelligence. And most people it's not like they sat down as, what do I want to believe here? It's just that throughout life, they've been taught kind of they've been programmed to have one or the other. So you oftentimes hear people say, I am who I am and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's a fixed mindset. And here's why it's so important, and this is where decades of research have found, is that if we don't believe that we can improve, what happens if we fail? So if we fail at something and we can't improve, we internalize that as though we are failures. Mm-hmm. And so those with a fixed mindset, they avoid failure at all costs, and they want to back away from challenges because challenges mean that there's a high risk for failure. Those with the growth mindset, on the other hand, is they don't back away from failure and challenges because they see those as opportunities to learn. And in fact, probably the best way to learn. Does that make sense? The difference?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. The reason I, you know, just thinking about that is you start to mention some of the neurology, and I think that that's, it's really cool because our nervous system drives everything. Right. And, yeah. And, you know, I'm just going to use my background. My father would always say, be careful what you think of because it might become true.
Yeah.
You know, always. Yeah. And, you know, and I'll always say, even in, I still practice with him, and he, when he's there, you know, he practices and practiced 41 years. So, and he'll say things, you know, really like simply, I mean, I hear him saying this to patients the same way, maybe the same way you teach mindsets, but his is just maybe just like, you know, a 30-second blurb of it. But he helps patients, you know, break free from like these thought patterns, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, like in health versus, you know, I know you're with leadership and success in life, but in health, I think all of what you're doing applies directly to health because it's our mental paradigm shift. It's like, well, I can't heal. I have X, Y, Z. I've been to every doctor, everything is happening. And then we clear the nervous system and let them know that their body can actually heal. And it's the only thing that does heal. They start to change. So it's like their body's changing, but their mindset on health and healing is changed, and it physiologically changes as well. So, I mean, what you're doing is super powerful, you know, in a world of leadership, in the world of success with, I guess, individuals and or businesses, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And it's all, it comes down to, I mean, it's a mental game. I mean, you're an ultra marathoner. I used to run every day 2 miles. I would try to run it as fast as I could. But I was just like, I grew up playing basketball and football, which is kind of more sprint.
Yeah, totally.
Sports. And so I kind of consider myself, I'm a sprinter. I'm not a runner. And there's no way I could ever run a half marathon. Well, and so I didn't even try. Like, I just kind of felt like I've got my own muscle twitches, fibers, whatever. And yeah. There's nothing I could do to change that. Well, I ended up kind of changing my diet around, and I lost 30 pounds. And all of a sudden I could run forever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my goodness, maybe I can run a half marathon. And that became my goal. And so I went from saying, I will never run a half marathon to in less than a year later, as I was running my first half marathon. And it was my own mental block that was getting in my way, because I would run 2 miles. I'd be like, oh man, I can't go any farther. There's just no way. But then, you know, you lose a few pounds and hey, this became pretty easy.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I think it's with the people that you definitely work with, the companies that you just think about the capacity, the blocks that they put upon themselves with their mindset and like what is really possible when you like, when that has that shift, even if it's like a 1 degree shift, it's got to be insane to see like in your world when you're working with a company that you may have, you know, 50, 100 or 1,000, whoever many people all have this little 1 degree pivot. That's massive.
Well, yeah, you can see this on multiple levels. So as a leader, if I don't believe that my people can change their talents, abilities, intelligence, I'm just naturally not, I'm going to unconsciously avoid developing them. What's the point of me developing them if they can't improve? But if we have a growth mindset and we believe that our people can develop and improve, now we're going to invest in them. So that's kind of at the leader level. But then at the organizational level, what we find, I mean, you look at all the companies that are going out of business. I mean, we've seen Toys R Us recently. Sears is about ready to close their doors. Like, don't get me wrong, change is really difficult in these really large organizations. But the reason why they haven't attempted to change, or the reason why they attempted to change too late, is because they didn't believe that that was possible at some subconscious level. Whereas you get other organizations, when they do believe that they can change, they're much more what we call agile. They're willing and able to adapt to the changing market conditions. And it all starts with that fundamental belief of, can we change or can we not?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting you say that. You know, you think about the leaders of like of Tesla or Amazon, and their mindsets are so, and Apple and Microsoft, they're so different. Yeah. It's so crazy when you think about it. They're like, these guys are crazy. I go, yeah, but that's why I think they're so successful in what they do, because they don't have that lack mindset or like the belief that really what could happen. You know?
Yeah. And that Microsoft is a great example. Satya Nadella, their CEO, just came out with a great book that's called Hit Refresh. And the reason why it's so great is because from 2001 until 2014, their stock price and market capitalization essentially stayed the same. Well, what that meant for them is that they were getting passed up by everybody else over those 14 years or 13 years. And a lot of people in 2014 were kind of like, I think Microsoft's dead in the water. I mean, they're still a massive company, but they just weren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened in 2014 is Satya Nadella took over as CEO. And what he says in his book is that the C in CEO stands for curator of culture. Mm. So he knew that if they were going to be successful, he needed to work on their culture. And what he chose to focus on was mindsets. Because he knew he needed to shift the lenses in which they were looking at the world if they wanted to navigate that world better. So one of the things that he did is on their employee ID cards is what he recognized is that everybody there kind of felt like they were know-it-alls. They needed to be right. And that prevented them from exploring new ideas and new opportunities. And so what he changed on their employee ID cards was a saying that said, from know-it-all to learn-it-all, because he was trying to get them to capture this growth mindset. And since 2014, their stock price and market capitalization has tripled, and they're right back up on par with Apple, Amazon, and Google.
That's amazing. I mean, that's the power of a good leader, huh? I mean, 14 years of flatline, which most businesses is usually going to end up going the other direction.
Yeah.
That's pretty
powerful.
And
it speaks to, if we want to initiate change, both within ourselves or within the organization or units in which we're working in, if we aren't talking about mindsets, it's going to be a much more painful process than if we are talking about mindsets. We've got to get at the foundation.
Yeah. So I think everybody listening, you know, you've heard from amazing people like Ryan here and so many people before him. And I know we talk a lot about the do, right? We got to get back to the be first, because, you know, if you want to run an ultra marathon or you want to do whatever it may be, you have to first have that ownership, that why, that being, to lead yourself to do the right things. You can't just say, I have to run 50 miles a week. We were talking about running 25 miles a week, right? It's like, I got to run 100 miles a week. Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Like, you don't have enough, you know, you're not there yet. Your being is not there yet. Your why is not there yet. So this has been an awesome conversation in going backwards, not backwards, but going deep, if you will, so you can actually have a much faster trajectory. I mean, just that what you just said with Microsoft, that's an unbelievable example. I mean, it's a big, and that's not like a little company doing a little bit. That's a monster that had to, it's like turning the Titanic with a wooden oar.
Right?
Yeah. Like crazy.
Yeah.
So Ryan, if you give our audience, what would be the three top things that they could do to boost their mindset, unleash their human potential just a little bit more if they had to start something right now, once they hit the pause button at the end of the show?
Yeah, let me just give a few different things that are out there, right? So we've talked about the mindset assessment, and we've hinted at some of these mindsets, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to give a really quick overview that I think you'll like. And then also, I've got a book coming out here. So ebook and audiobook will be available in February. impress or imprint book will be available in May. You can pre-order those at any place where you can get buy books. Yeah, which is awesome. But one of the first things that we could do is, if we just have like 2 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
Is what are your desires? So let me give you four desires that somebody could potentially have. So the desire to look good, be right, avoid problems, and get ahead. So look good, be right, avoid problems, and get ahead. Is there anything wrong with those desires?
I don't think so.
See, and that's, I mean, who wants to look bad, be wrong, have problems, and get passed up? Well, nobody. These desires are really justifiable, but what is the thing about these is these desires are attached with the negative mindsets. Mm. And they actually will lead us to make decisions and think in ways that limit our success in the future. And here's the reason why, is because where are they focused? They're focused on ourselves. And so they're self-interested. When we have those desires, we're in self-protection mode. And not that we've gotten into that mode because we're a bad person. It's just society tells us that those are the desires that we need to have. And what we don't recognize is that there's higher level desires. So instead of a desire to look good, we have a desire to learn and grow. Instead of a desire to be right, we have a desire to find truth and think optimally. Instead of a desire to avoid problems, we have a desire to reach goals. And instead of a desire to get ahead, we have a desire to help those around us get ahead. And when we have those four desires, these are when we are in mission advance mode, is when we have those four desires. And those are higher level. Those are attached to the four positive mindsets that we focus on. And so a quick introspection that we can do is, what desires do you have out of those? And what we don't recognize is those foundational desires are impacting how we live our lives. And if we could shift to the more positive desires, so to learn and grow, to think optimally, to reach goals, and to lift others, that sounds like the foundation of a beautiful life to me. But
yeah,
sounds I'm a awesome. Little biased.
No. You know, it's a saying that I say frequently on podcasts, all ships rise in a high tide.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. And I'm pumped, man. A book in May 2020, but I didn't realize it. The digital versions are coming out in February.
Yep.
Rock and roll. Everybody, so make sure you do head over to RyanGodfredson.com. I will have all the details in the show notes, how to get the book, how to get the assessment done, how to connect with him. If you're a company and you're listening, or you work for a company, how to connect with him to build this. I mean, how cool would it be to have that same kind of experience that Microsoft just had, right?
Yeah.
The cool thing
about it is, when I work with companies, we'll have their top leadership team or maybe even their whole organization take the mindset assessment. And then what I do on the back end is I aggregate those results to give a collective mindset report that we can say, as a collective, where are our mindsets? And are we in position to succeed moving forward in the future? And where is it that we need to change? It's a really cool process to be a part of.
That's phenomenal that you actually can put it into a big pile, but put everything together, not just individually. I'm sure all the employees get their own individual one, but then you get to see collectively how the organization grows. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So everyone, make sure you do go check them out. I hope you did enjoy this episode. And Ryan, awesome, dude. I'm pumped to have met you. I'm excited to be able to get your book. I'm a digital guy, so I'll be getting the digital version. I wish I had you autographed that one. But man, I'm pumped for you. And I see what you're doing is so powerful for individuals, for companies. And I think you have, you know, a hidden area for people in their health as well, because mindset is a very important thing.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it and really enjoyed the conversation.
Hey, everyone, I hope you did enjoy that episode with Ryan. Make sure you do head down to the show notes, or you can head over to lifestylelocker.com/success mindsets, where you can go ahead and get links to get the book called Success Mindsets, as well as the personal assessment the personal mindset assessment, that is, and you can connect with Ryan there via social. And if you're a company and or organization or a person that's looking to improve their mindset, I would definitely start with the book and then connect with him. So wherever and whenever you're listening, everybody, thank you so much. This has been an awesome journey so far, 190 episodes in. And if you didn't hear midway through, this episode is sponsored by the 3065 program, 365 days of health for just $5 a month. You can get the details in the show notes there as well. So make sure you do scroll down, check the website out, and we'll see you inside the locker. All right, y'all. Peace out. Bye-bye.